time for another Friday Fight segment. We are talking with Nick Baldwin of The Score, and we are taking a look forward to this upcoming weekend, taking a look back at the weekend that was in combat sports. Nick, how you been?
I've been well, Derek. How about you?
Doing well, doing well. I don't even know if I said Nick Baldwin's with us, but he is. Nick Baldwin from The Score, once again talking with us here on a Friday. And Nick, first of all, going back to UFC Rio over the weekend, obviously we talked about there were some fights there on the main card that had some stakes. What's your overall thoughts on kind of how the event went?
I thought it was a solid card. I thought the main event ended things in terrific fashion. I thought the co-main event maybe left a little to be desired, wasn't the most entertaining fight, but throughout the card I thought we had some pretty standout performances. This felt like a pretty top heavy card to me, and as we'll I'm sure get to in just a second, I think the way Charles Oliveira ended things really made this Rio card one to remember, among all the Brazilian cards we've had, over the years.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, I think the ending was the best part of it. Not because it was over, but when you look at the fight card as a whole, like you said, top heavy. Charles Oliveira versus Matheus Gamrot. There was a thought maybe this would be a five rounder, a real battle. Of course, Oliveira trying to fight off Gamrot's grappling skills and or taking advantage of those, I guess. But once it started, it definitely looked like this was not a match for Oliveira when it comes to Gamrot. And eventually, he gets the face crank. He gets the submission, 248 in the second round. What are your takeaways from the fight? What we saw from DuBronx there, from Charles Oliveira, and then the big call out at the end says, "Let's go, Max Holloway. Let's go for that BMF title belt." And that was also an awesome way to finish it out.
Yeah, I mean, I loved everything about this performance and the call out afterward. I thought it was all brilliant. I thought it was kind of perfect. And this to me, this was Charles Oliveira's y'all must have forgot moment, because it was only 100-some days ago that he got brutally knocked out by Ilia Topuria in a vacant title fight. He had never been slept in that fashion, and it was the type of loss that, understandably so, had a lot of people concerned or at least wondering, is Charles Oliveira washed, or is this sort of what will lead to that? And then, on top of that, there was kind of concerns, is he coming back too soon from such a devastating knockout loss? Does he need to give his brain and his chin and everything else a bit more of a rest? And he silenced those doubters in very impressive fashion. I really did think Matheus Gamrot had a chance, but I also recognize that, Oliveira, I felt, was the better jiu-jitsu artist, and I also felt he was just more dangerous on the feet. So I thought going in that if Oliveira was indeed sort of past his prime or sort of showing effects from that knockout loss, Gamrot definitely could win. But it just felt like Oliveira was a bit more dangerous everywhere, and I thought he proved that even more so than I thought going in. Gamrot took the fight to the ground early, which maybe initially seemed like a smart plan, but very quickly we realized, no, Charles Oliveira is the guy on the ground. I mean, he has the most submission wins in the UFC for a reason. And, start to finish, it was just a really, really impressive, great performance. He was dangerous on the ground. He was dangerous on the feet. He was very aggressive in the stand-up department, which is nothing new. I mean, we see that from him every fight. And he just overwhelmed Gamrot. He outskilled Gamrot. And, yeah, takeaway is that Charles Oliveira is back. Maybe he never really left. Maybe Ilia Topuria is just that good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Charles Oliveira will ever be a champion again, because beating Ilya and beating Islam and beating Armin Sarukian are tough tasks for him or for anybody. But he very much showed that he is still very much, a player in this division. And very quickly, I think the Max Holloway fight is just awesome. I was actually at the first one 10 years ago at UFC Saskatoon. We made the five-hour drive there, my dad and I. And I wasn't media at the time. I was just there as a fan. And it was such a disappointing main event. I mean, Holloway beat him in a minute or two. It was that weird freaky, fluky esophagus injury to Oliveira. And I mean, since then, in the 10 years since that fight, Max Holloway and Charles Oliveira have emerged as these all-time Hall of Fame caliber fighters. And I mean, a rematch for the BMF title or for really anything, I think would just be outstanding.
Yep, I agree. And yeah, Charles Oliveira was not quite Charles Oliveira. Max Holloway was not quite Max Holloway at that point. And so when we get them, maybe not in their peak or in their prime or whatever, but these two guys are still, they've still got a lot left in the tank, and looking forward to, you know, that fight whenever that is. Also at UFC Rio, Davison Figueiredo beats Montel Jackson, split decision. Joel Alvarez wins over Vicente Luque. Horrible fight. Mario Pinto wins the heavyweight division, and Khan Ofli in the featherweight division there in the main card. Any other takeaways, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, not too many. I guess one of my major takeaways was actually, you know, Joel Alvarez. I thought, you know, for what it was, you know, he put a beat down on Vicente Luque, and not too many people in the welterweight division can say they've done that. Now, you know, Luque is very clearly past his prime, and mm-hmm. I mean, in my opinion, should probably hang the gloves up or at least think about it. But still, not, you know, it's tough to do what Alvarez did to Luque, and I thought, you know, that was a good win and a good name to have on his resume, and that was his welterweight debut, and so I thought Joel Alvarez really showed that, you know, he's a guy to watch. Hard to say if he'll ever sort of be a real title contender or anything of that nature, but, you know, definitely someone to watch, and I think he's getting better. So that was an impressive performance, but on the flip side, you know, tough to watch, and you know, not a good outing by Luque. You know, I felt like they probably could have thrown in the towel between the second and third round. Luque was just showing nothing out there, and it's hard to say if he even wanted to be there third round.
No.
Beyond that, I thought Mario Pinto looked good. You know, 11-0. I think he's the heavyweight to watch. Thought his post-fight interview was also hilarious. I will just let the listeners go check that out if they would like. But yeah, I mean, I thought, as I said, sort of off the top, you know, this card started with Oliveira and ended it with Oliveira, and you know, I thought Do Bronx was by far the big winner of the night.
Yep, no doubt about that. Jose Aldo did retire for the second time from the UFC. Is this it? Is this really it, Nick?
Probably. But never say never. It's MMA after all.
Right, exactly. There really is no retirement there when it comes to MMA. You never know. Let's move on. UFC coming up this weekend from Vancouver, British Columbia, there in Canada. And the headliner is Renata Ritter against Brendan Allen, the middleweight division. This is another chance for RDR. Brendan Allen, of course, he's had his moments, certainly, although I wouldn't say this is him at you know, coming off of something, you know, major. He did have a fight of the night win against Marvin Vettori, but his stock maybe dropped a little bit with the losses to Fluffy and Imavov, but I guess maybe that says more about those two, and we've seen what they've been doing since then. So it is a you know, a pretty high stakes middleweight matchup between these two there in Canada, Nick.
It is. It's a good fight. I can't help but feel disappointed that we're not getting RDR versus Fluffy, just because that on paper was an outstanding matchup and very much a no matter who wins, it felt like a number one contender fight. I know Imavov is there. You know, there's lots of moving parts right now at 185, but it very much felt like that. Now it's not so much a number one contender fight. I think if RDR wins, a title shot could be his. If Allen wins, then I think it goes to somebody else like Imavov. Still, though, as you said, you know, these are two of the top 10 middleweights in the world. Stylistically should be at least interesting. I like RDR quite a bit in this fight, but I mean, Brendan Allen is no slouch, and I mean, he's skilled on the ground. He's done some good work on the feet as well. I think he can, you know, test RDR to some degree, but I just think RDR will show that he's on a slightly different level than Allen. You know, beating Robert Whittaker, beating Bo Nickel, all these guys, I don't know if those are wins that Brendan Allen would have, or at least in the same fashion. And so I think Renier de Ritter is going to prove that, yeah, he's ready for a crack at Hamzat, which may not go well, but I'm not sure that would go well for anybody. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the main event. You know, still wish Fluffy was in it, but Allen's certainly not the worst replacement.
Yeah. Fluffy Hernandez had to withdraw from that due to an undisclosed injury, so it is already our Brendan Allen. A good opportunity for Allen to maybe boost himself back into that. You got Kevin Holland against the native son, Mike Malott, in the co-main. Marlon Vera, Chito Vera against Ayman Zahabi in a bantamweight matchup for the featured bout. That, you know, those two, you know, at least, you know, Kevin Holland's never boring. Chito Vera sometimes can be boring, although if he gets behind late in the fight, it's kind of fun to watch him try to come back there. Manon Fiorot in the women's flyweight matchup, Jasmine Jazdavicius. Also a Canadian there, Cody Gibson against Ori. I can't have it. Nick, what's that one? What's the name?
Aori Klang, perhaps.
It's not that. It's something else. I can't get it in my head right now. Kyle Nelson, Matt Frivola, steamroller for Frivola. So, I mean, this is, you know, you look at this, and really it's the first time I've looked at all these fights. It's a pretty good fight card.
Yeah, I'm scrolling myself, and it could be a lot worse. I mean, these are fights that I think will be fun. We're not talking about, you know, title eliminators and super high stakes, but, I mean, there is a little bit of that. I mean, Marlon Chito Vera versus Ayman Zahabi. First of all, I think that could be fight of the night. I think that could be a really, really fun matchup. Ayman Zahabi, just such a unique fighter and unique story in the UFC right now, because he's, I believe, 38, but he's only 13-2. He's only been in the UFC he's 37. He's been in the UFC for a while, but he, you know, hasn't been super active. He's been active as of late, but, you know, he had no fights in 2020, only one in 2019. Before that, it had been 2017. So he still feels like a prospect. And, I mean, results-wise, he's only getting better, beating Jose Aldo and Pedro Munhoz in his last two very big wins. And if he can beat Marlon Chito Vera, I think he's suddenly sort of catapults himself into that top five, top seven range. And, you know, at that point, he's only one or two away from the title shot. So very cool to see the brother of Firas Zahabi, who, of course, the longtime coach of George St. Pierre, making the sort of late career run to the top, if you will. After that, you know, I do like the Kevin Holland, the Mike Malott fight. Is this the fight that finally gets Malott into the top 15? Is it the one that sort of proves him to be, you know, a contender? We'll see. Kevin Holland, no stranger to a boring no stranger to a boring fight. And then, as you said, prelims, Kyle Nelson, Matt Frivola should be a banger. Charles Jourdain, Davey Grant should be awesome. Bruno Silva is always fun to watch. Drew Dober is always fun to watch. I think this could be a really good fight card.
And people might be wondering, since it is a Canadian fight card, are you going? But you were on the other end of the earth.
Yeah, no, I'm a couple hour flight away, so I will unfortunately not be there. But I would like to be, and Vancouver is a great city. So anyone who gets to go will, they'll have some fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bet. Before I let you go here, Nick, I believe we didn't get an opportunity to talk, PFL when it comes to the, Hughes Nurmagomedov rematch. I'd like to just circle back to that, review that a little bit. That came a couple weeks ago, but we just haven't been able to get into it because we've been focusing on other big fights. Round two, another banger of a fight. Nurmagomedov, of course, gets a unanimous decision. He was even 50-45 on one card, which it wasn't that big of a, you know, gap between them. I mean, when it comes to the PFL and when it comes to money fights, relatively speaking to what they have, this is the one. I mean, are we going to see another matchup between the two?
I think at some point we'll see these two in the cage for a third time. I don't know if it'll happen right away just because, you know, on paper, Usman is 2-0 over Hughes and Hughes is 0-2. And, you know, that's never a great spot to be in if you're Paul Hughes. Now, the good news is that, a lot of people felt that he won the second fight. I will say I was watching it. I wasn't really scoring it in real time. It felt 3-2 either way was okay. 50-45, 49-46 is egregious, mm-hmm. but we don't really need to go down that road too much or I'll just get mad at the judges. But yes, I think we'll see these guys fight again. If we think about the biggest fights in PFL history, both of these fights have to be right up there. I don't know if they bring the name value of an Ngannou or a Cyborg to sort of surpass those fights, and I'm sure there's a couple other fights that I'm not thinking about right now, but if we talk about, you know, how anticipated these two fights were, how exciting they were as they happened, how, you know, the first one in particular is a fight of the year candidate this year, in my opinion. And the second one wasn't much worse. And maybe it was better. I mean, to compare them is kind of like, you know, whatever. They're both great fights. I think we'll see these guys run it back at some point. It won't be right away. Hughes will need to sort of win one or two. But the reality is Usman is really, really good. And I don't think anyone in the PFL lightweight division is going to beat this guy other than Paul Hughes. And so whether it's next year or in 3 years, I think Paul Hughes is probably number two in the division. He's going to keep winning. Usman's going to keep winning. And a third fight at some point is going to line up. It's going to make sense. And it's really going to be the only fight the PFL can make. So I'm looking forward to round three whenever it happens, because it seems like whenever these guys are in the cage together, magic happens. It's all sorts of, you know, fun. And so, yes, Usman, Hughes, two, great fight, and the third will happen at some point.
Yeah. Nick Baldwin again from The Score there in Canada and on our Friday fight segment. Nick, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the fights this week, all right?
You too. Thanks, Derek.